there's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away.
Man's hello and welcome to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Chris.
And today we are talking about Brad Bird's new film, Tomorrowland.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah. Man, this was like the most optimistic movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
I know. I needed this movie so bad right now. And,
yeah. Man. From the music to like this, like the overall like look of the film, it was just like this nice, pretty, happy thing. It's like, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah, yeah. The theme was just so positive. It's great.
Yep.
Review's over. That's it.
Pretty much. Yeah. Probably just begin with the fact that we are both such big fans of the film that we probably don't have much negative to say about it.
I've got a couple. Tyler,
I said we don't have much negative to say about it.
I have one negative
thing to say. No, Tyler, shut up. We have nothing negative to say about this film. Other than the fact that you had no idea the third act happened.
Yeah.
Until it happened. You're like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
This is totally the third act.
I didn't put this in my notes, but I did notice that structurally it... It wasn't bad at all, but like it was very different. It didn't like, I kept trying to guess where I was in the film, because like there's the point where we say this in every single one of them, but in case this is someone's first time listening to the podcast, we do spoil the movies we talk about.
Yes, and since it just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just came out today for us when we're recording. But there's the bit where it's George Clooney and the two girls are they're all together at this point, and I'm like, I'm wondering like where I remember just wondering like, where are we in the movie right now? Are we nearing the third act, or
it was like when I think that when they enter Tomorrowland, it was like that's the third act right there starting up.
Yeah,
and it was like, but it was also like almost a climax, because like it was just like, here's Hugh Laurie, by the way, who's now the bad guy of the film. Yeah. Just let you know. Yeah. Just FYI. Which, by the way, great bad
oh,
guy.
Oh yeah, he's one of my notes is that Hugh Laurie is great when he's in the movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like when he first shows up, you're kind of like, oh, this is kind of one of those people. Whatever.
I thought he was gonna be like a cameo at first.
Yeah, me too. And I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. I like Hugh Laurie. Good, yeah, great actor. Yeah, yeah. Great actor on House, whenever he was on there. It was great. Wonderful.
Great. He's in my favorite movie, Stuart Little.
I thought you were going to say he was great in Home Alone, but okay.
But yeah, he's really great in this.
I love his jacket. I don't know what it is, but like, yes! His jacket matches so much. Like the scales on his jacket. Yeah! Like, what the heck?
Yeah, I just remember, like, because overall in this movie, the designs are just so impressive and creative, and it, like, it all comes together for this beautiful aesthetic. And I was just, like, costume designs. I was just sitting there looking at Hugh Laurie's costume and just thinking, this is, like, so cool.
Yeah. Like, I think that, like, they did a great job on costume design, like, just, like, props itself.
The art direction
of this
movie.
Art direction, yeah, thank you. It's just, like, just out of this world. Because left the world, because, you know.
Yeah,
because
they're in Tomorrowland.
Okay, so, the ultras in this thing here, like, they call them ultras or whatever? I have a question for you from this. Mm-hmm. Was that, like, the... That guy's, like, was that, like, Hugh Laurie's, like, group or whatever? Is it, like, you know?
Oh, like, the guys in the black van?
Yeah, like, okay, I didn't actually, like, I didn't understand that part right there.
Okay, so,
like,
you know, like, you know what? I, honestly, that really felt like it didn't go much of anywhere.
I did love the fact that they had, like, Tesla in there. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, Tesla, but Tesla and Edison didn't like each other, blah blah blah. And they like to mention that really briefly. They just jump right. They jump past it. It's like, oh wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the Eiffel Tower is opening up, and I'm like, ah.
Yeah. Oh, forget about that.
Eiffel Tower is a secret spaceship.
Yeah, but yeah, I did, however, like, I guess they're just kind of the generic, like lackeys or whatever.
That dude, so could we say he's like just smiling like,
yeah, I love it, because he does like that weird smile that has like
I like that neck turn. It's like, oh
yeah,
stop.
It's great. He was hilarious. Oh,
ew.
Actually, I have a scene written down as my favorite scene, but it's actually not my favorite scene.
Okay,
because what I have written down is the blast from the past shop as my favorite, but actually I think my favorite moment in the entire movie is where she starts hitting one of the guys with a bat.
keeps going.
Yeah.
And Clooney's like trying to get in there. He's like, I'm trying to
okay, okay, you can stop now. You can stop.
please stop. But here's the thing though, he should let her keep going because she wasn't done yet.
Yeah.
And like, oh, they and they're on their rocket. Try to skip over that right there real fast. And they're on their rocket. And the guy's like hanging on there later. Yeah. And he's like, what do you say? He's like, oh, tell him to hang on.
Yeah.
He's going for a ride.
Yeah. But I love that moment. Because, like, you think she's about to stop. And then she keeps going.
Yeah.
But,
that was a great surprise.
Yeah, I love that. And, I mean, you wouldn't really expect that from a Disney movie. Someone's face getting caved in and then bashed in even further.
Dude, you would expect the fact that they Resident Evil the person in there. Like, if you know what that means, it's like where like the lasers all pop, the cross section lasers pop up, and the person goes right through and just kind of dices them all of a sudden.
That's right, yeah.
Because like in the movie Resident Evil, they do that a few times. And it's just like, I was just like, this feels like a just much kind of Resident Evil then.
Actually, yeah, that entire sequence in George Clooney's house.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, like, all the ways that they were, like, you know, blowing up all these bad guys were so, like, weird and creative. It's like, you know, usually in an action movie, it's just, oh, he got shot by a laser gun, or...
And then, like, oh, no, he's gone.
And then
it happened a few times to get shot by laser gun, but it's kind of like
right. But they did it in like in a creative way, and
yeah,
that
was pretty cool.
And then like, but I mean, and like, so usually it would just be like, oh, you know, they shoot a couple people, and then like one of the bad guys, like the last one or something, is they do something kind of cool with it. But every single one of them, he did it in an interesting way. So like, the action is never boring in the movie.
Yeah. Like when he's checking off the tub and it's just like the guy hanging on still a little bit and he just like flies off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, ah, he's gone.
there's that one part where like they shoot like two or three guys in a row and they like explode into dust.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. This is one of the cinema experiences where I get to sit there and go like, oh, yes, yes, this is so fun.
It was crazy. Speaking of like cinematic experiences,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually, you watch a movie, you know, there's usually kind of variety in the crowd, like you know, some kids, or whatever, yeah, and yeah. Some adults. Especially here, I had like everybody in my crowd. I had old people, I had young people, I had like just like teenagers on going dates. I had just adults by themselves. I had adults with kids. I had just like, you know, all sorts of things. Just all in my theater, like just covered in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think about Disney movies, like, they do that all the time. It's like, everybody goes to Disney movies.
Right.
Like, whatever age.
Actually, something I was going to point out about this is that, like, I think I didn't really get to survey the crowd too much. I mean, we do talk about our, you know, experiences at the cinema a lot when we, you know, do new movies. But I didn't really get to survey the crowd much. But there were a couple of old people, like, two groups of old people that were there. And they were loving it, and I was really surprised at points that they were loving it.
Well, people can love it, Tyler. Wow, discrimination right there. You know, just so the audience knows, by the way, Tyler is a discriminator of age.
Uh-huh.
He has ageism, right?
Yeah, I have ageism. But
well, it's actually a real term that just somebody just made up one day. It's like, oh, that's ageism.
Yeah. Well, you know, the internet has to be angry at something.
Yeah, I'm sure that. Since George Clooney dropped the girl, it was like, that's abuse right there.
Yeah, that's sexist.
Also, it was pedophilia because the because George Clooney and the child were still like in love with each other or whatever.
Okay, so this wasn't a problem with the movie whatsoever because they ended up not doing this. But I was so worried that like
they're about to start kissing or whatever.
Like,
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, they would go just a little bit too far with it because like it's like, okay, you know, the kid robot's just as old as he is.
Yeah.
But it's still George Clooney and a little girl actress.
Yeah. You know, actually what I got from that was not at all like the creepiness, whatever.
Yeah,
like
it
I think
wasn't
that
like,
I was like,
it wasn't like a love interest. It was like
it's more like a father and daughter almost. Suddenly, not like maybe like not even like not like quite like that, but it's like yeah. It didn't feel like it was like one of those like creepy close relationships or whatever. It's like, oh,
okay. So I mentioned earlier that I had one little issue with the movie. The only thing I ever really had a problem with was the sequence where. Little George Clooney, he first comes to Tomorrowland and there's like the robots around him. Mm-hmm. Like for the most part, the kid did a really good job, but like when he had to react to CGI things happening around him, I don't know, the reactions were a little bit off. And I mean, it's hard for any actor really, but,
you had a problem with that?
Yeah, man.
I thought that was like the best execution the entire movie. There was the whole entire opening bit.
Oh man,
it was like that whole part. That was like my favorite part right there. Like when it switched with the girl a little bit, it felt a little more flat because it like switched from like happy optimistic blah blah blah. It's like to like oh, it's like it was like. James Bond all of a sudden her hacking into the things. It's like what?
No, I'm not saying at all that like that's point in the plot was bad. I'm saying like that like the miniature action sequence.
I was doing an encompassing like I mean like excuse me like right. The kid did a great job.
Right. Yeah.
Like I didn't I mean like just like everybody like that was like I thought
yeah,
that was great.
It was such a minor thing. Like, and you, Chris, you keep making it seem like I'm making a big deal out of this. It was such a minor thing.
You are. So make a big deal of this, Tyler.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Hey.
Okay,
stop acting like an old
person.
I hate old people.
Everybody go to Twitter and the new hashtag is StopTyler2015.
Okay.
And calm down.
Hashtag calm down, Chris. Stop Tyler and calm down Chris.
No, there's no calming down. So Tyler, you know my favorite movies are movies that are like more happy and optimistic. So this plays right into mm-hmm. like my favorite kind of movie. So it's like this when this comes out on DVD, the day it comes out I'm buying it right then.
Yeah.
Or the second it hits like the illegal Chinese market, I'm buying it right then. either way, one of those two.
Right.
They'll have it. I'm sure they already have it bootlegged for me. So,
Support the official release, kids. I was thinking about that like near the end of the movie. I was like, you know, am I gonna buy this when it comes out on Blu-ray? And I don't know if I will immediately, but I probably will eventually.
Oh, absolutely! I'm gonna buy it immediately. Oh, that's it. I'm buying it now. Like I'm gonna be like pre-order. Up the workbank mine. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I own almost. Every Brad Bird movie, except for this and Mission Impossible 4.
Yeah. By the way, that was probably a really awesome... That was probably the second best Mission Impossible movie.
Mm. But, yeah. Most of the cast was really good in this movie.
Yeah.
Unlike
Tyler, I like the kid at the very beginning of that was playing young Frank.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I obviously hated him.
Yeah, now, like I said, I think that my only complaint if I had one about the movie. Go ahead, Tyler, you can break me for this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have a problem with the movie, Chris? What's wrong with you? This is a perfect movie.
Actually, I said it earlier, like when you said about the kid, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like right after that part right there, it's like the weird, like abrupt, like it felt like the movie like went flat for a second, like when it introduced the girl, mm-hmm. but it was like. Once you realize what she was doing, it's like, oh, this is fine.
I never had a problem with that.
It was like this. It just felt like it was like, hey, blah blah blah. Everybody's like nice, and just like tonal shift.
Yeah. There was a tonal shift, but like that works because they're introducing a completely different character. She's a polar opposite person to George Clooney's character, so like that made sense to me.
I wouldn't say polar opposite. I say like.
in terms of their mindsets,
dialed down a little bit. I think it's mostly what it was.
Because,
but
maybe not polar opposite, but like they come from two different sides, and like, but they're going for the same goal.
Yeah, which by the way, I love the 1960s thing going on that they had. It was like, this is so cool.
I love it.
Cause like I was a big fan of like the World's Fair idea, like bringing together all these different inventors and all that stuff. And I love like it's like how like mean he Laurie was to him. Like he brought his jetpack. He's like, that'd be great if it actually worked. It's like oh.
But in the meantime, have fun.
Have fun. It's like it's just like oh.
Oh
no.
Overall, like we started talking about sort of the cinematic experience of it, but I would definitely recommend seeing this in a theater because it's got so much like it's a very big scoped movie, and I like to see most movies in the cinema anyway, but this is like one where it's probably. It's better to see it that way.
It's also like a rare instance where like you and I went to go see a movie on the exact same day. Like we were both just like, we got to see it right now.
We had to go see it on the opening day.
But man, I will say this right now. I'm a little bit afraid though.
Ooh.
That it's like not going to make back its money all the way. Like as far as like domestic earnings.
Oh.
So I'm just like, man, this thing's like something that a broad audience may not.
Yeah,
be able to appreciate fully. Yeah,
unfortunately, because it is...
I feel like it might be too smart.
For one, it might be too smart, and two, it's not a pre-established franchise.
And, I mean, no offense to Brad Bird, but I go to somebody like, hey, Brad Bird's directing this.
That's right.
Sorry? Come again?
It's mostly because he does animation, and people don't really think about the... like the director behind animated projects.
Let's just say this guy directed The Incredibles, and you're like, oh my god.
Oh, I love The Incredibles.
Yeah. Man, he got, like, just absolutely just, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, just kind of pushed aside almost, felt like.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, Incredibles came out, and it was like this, they had like the ending bit with the Underminer, and like, oh, it's going to be a sequel right here, and they made a video game out of it, and nothing happened from that. It's like
Ratatouille. He had Ratatouille.
Yeah, but Incredibles 2.
Well, they're making Incredibles 2 now.
I'm not making it now, but it's like back then it was just like, oh, they're not making one? I got so repressed by that. I was like, I loved Incredibles so much.
And then, you know, they make Monsters University and Finding Dory and something else that's stupid, probably. Oh, Cars 2. That's right.
Yeah, Cars 2. That's
a gem. Number. Yeah, Cars 2. That's a national treasure.
But this right here, I can see like people not going to because it's like, oh, this is, you know, there's not enough explosions in there.
Yeah.
It's like there's like 5 minutes of explosions in this thing, I think, in total.
Yeah.
A little girl exploding, and then like the house.
Yeah, man. A little girl explodes. Some people explode. Some people get lasered.
And then like bits. And like two old guys fight each other. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, man.
That sounds wrong by the calling Hugh Laurie an old person, but he's actually kind of old.
I did notice that in this. He's.
I didn't like. I guess I don't think about that because I was like, you know, I've been. I don't know. It's.
Actually, he's always been like, you know, middle-aged like, guy.
But he's not like. Old though, but in this right here, he's actually like.
He's not. He's still like upper middle ages. He's not old yet.
But like I don't know. Like I think that they did a great job by with the makeup in the very beginning, like when they're showing Hugh Laurie.
Mm-hmm.
Like they made him like look younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, I mean they kept him a little bit young is it like the future? He's talking about like how much younger he looks. Like he not younger, he looks like how young he looks.
Oh, yeah,
or whatever.
How he
because like
he hasn't aged
like
too much.
Age. That's what I think. Like yeah, he hasn't aged, and it's just like that was a great makeup job right there. Because they made him look a lot younger, but it's still like I know that he's like still kind of old though. It's like too bad because like he's a great actor.
It's not like he's dying in the next couple years.
Is that you're knocking on wood?
Yep. Oh, you never know nowadays.
Yeah. Oh. I'm gonna find some needles in his arm. Okay, do you have any idea where that girl came from? You know,
I thought I recognized her from something, but I cannot...
I forgot to look that up when I was like, I was going to look at right now.
Yeah, Britt Robinson? Robertson?
Robertson. Right?
Yeah, I don't know any of these movies.
Oh, Scream 4.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Oh, she was in the TV show Under the Dome.
She was in Dan in Real Life with Steve Carell.
She was in the Growing Pains movie. TV movie.
I know what it is, Chris. She was in Power Rangers Time Force as Tammy in one episode.
Oh, that's a great episode.
That's right.
Because she shows up, whatever, and it's like that thing happens, the giant monsters. That's part of the giant monsters and the robot fight each other.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and then Tammy shows up.
Oh yeah, Tammy's such a bitch.
Tammy's the greatest character.
What are we talking about right now? What are we doing here?
she doesn't really have anything lined up. She's got a movie with Eddie Murphy lined up for this year.
Isn't Eddie Murphy like box of his poison now?
He is, because his movies got shelved for 10 years or whatever, and directed dumpster.
I mean, really, it's gonna go to the same landfill as E.T. video game. That's where his movies go.
Hey, this is Eddie Murphy. I have a new movie coming out. It's see it in your local landfill.
Is that Eddie Murphy's new accent?
Yeah.
It sounded almost Rastafarian on my end.
Hey, this is Eddie Murphy.
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, Tomorrowland was a really great movie.
Yeah, it really was. By the way, there was one thing that happened in Clooney's house that they never touched on, and I was like, wonder what the heck was that thing? Mm. I kind of touched on a little bit, but he had a transporter in his house. Just a portal, just sitting there, no problem.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, what?
I was like, what?
Yeah, what was that
about?
Go back.
What was that? Explain
what
that.
That.
No, stop.
Yeah.
Brad Bird, shut up for a second. Stop drinking. Tell me what happened this part.
Why didn't George Clooney
does he have that?
George Clooney should have just stopped in the middle of the movie, gone out of character. No, seriously, what is that?
Why do I have this thing?
What does it do?
They should have done a House of Cards as a side
Yeah.
This is my transporter for whatever thing right there, because I'm a real awesome person. It goes back to what? All right, that's fine.
All right.
That went fine.
We had a Kevin Spacey moment there.
Then they had they kind of had a transporter sort of thing in at the end or whatever. It was was he building that thing? I mean, what's he doing?
Maybe. That's, yeah. There are a few things that are, I guess, why would he have that? But
at the same time, it's that's fine.
I mean, It is sort of I don't want to give be that person who gives the excuse it's a kid's movie, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it's a plot hole.
Yeah.
Oh, why'd you have a plot hole in a movie? How did this movie? I mean, because I read some reviews, by the way, which by the way is a total mistake. Don't ever read people's reviews anymore, because they're crap. Because people nowadays, when they review movies, here's what they do. Oh, is that a plot hole? Is that some thin characters? It had some terrible themes. Why? You know who explained why things were whatever?
Ooh,
Roger Ebert. Because I used to read his reviews. And you know what he would say on there? This is why it was like this. This is why it was like this. This is why this. Well, most reviewers are like, oh, this had a plot hole because George Clooney couldn't possibly have had a bat till it flew through the air.
Right.
Only kids and cat on cereal could watch this movie.
Yeah, well, it's because of...
Bite
it's
me.
Because of, those stupid.
I want to sound all edgy.
Those stupid people who review things on YouTube. nowadays we have this medium where we can have sit down and pick apart all the plot holes in something, and that's the thing now. People just complain about plot holes, but that doesn't. I mean, you can talk all day about how Star Wars, you know, the original Star Wars has plot holes, but it's still a good movie in the end of the day.
Let me go ahead and also blow your mind for a second here. Yeah. Your life has plot holes, okay?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Whoa, dude.
Think about that for a while.
Whoa, right. Dude.
Speaking of blowing your mind, the part in the comic shop, the collector's shop, whatever, the doors, like, open up, he's like, da 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 da,
yes.
The songs are playing, he's like,
what,
hey, what's up?
What is that guy's name? He's part of that, like, sketch comedy show.
Oh, wow, that, there's specific things going on there, so, like, SNL,
it's the one with that guy in it.
Oh, gosh. Golly, Jibble Curtis Tyler. Now I know what it was, you know?
Oh, Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah. Key and Peele.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he
was great.
He's a pretty funny guy. I see him around and stuff, and I did not know until now what his name was.
That dude does, like, all sorts, like, he does, like, movies, still do, I see him on YouTube videos, it's, like, just, like, not even, like, just like the ones you don't expect him to be, it's like, oh, there he is.
Right,
like,
why not? He did the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
That's right, he was there. That's right. Yeah, he was. No.
God, we sound like such nerds right now.
I know. I don't care.
We watched the White House Correspondents'.
Tyler. Let's talk about this for a second. We are people reviewing a movie on YouTube.
Speaking of which, I have a few plot holes that I want to expose.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How could George Clooney be like this age whenever blah 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 blah?
But yeah, that guy was really good.
Yeah, he absolutely was. There's actually one more point I was gonna bring up, as far as like what I have left over. So the part where the spaceship takes off and Paris kind of brooded over that for a second. That was one of the coolest parts of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Just like the avatars, like just like separating out, and you're just like. My mind was like, that could not have been built back then, but I don't care right now.
Right.
It's fine. It's all fine. I don't care.
Oh, man.
I loved, cause like, the Buoyant Voyage thing that pops up, and it's like the little confetti goes everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
oh. Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's kind of cool, whatever. Also, like, just the thing just separates open. You're like...
this movie is such a spectacle at points.
Well, it amazes me that the person that, like, it was Brad Bird and a guy named Damon Lindelof, who... helped co-write this thing, and Lindelof did like the Star Trek movies and less like Lost or whatever, and so it surprised me. I was like, this guy can do like this as well. It's like, oh, this guy can go all the place. So that was like cool to see that Brad Bird and that guy wrote it along with another guy named like Jeff Jensen, who I'm not sure that person
is.
So
I think he was his story though.
Oh, okay.
Because it was Lindelof and Brad Bird who wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. I mean, I'm so glad that this was able to come out, because it's just like, so it just plays so well into my love of optimistic kind of movies. And interesting enough that like it has, I just looked up here and saw something that says Tomorrowland: A World Beyond apparently is like the subtitle for the UK release. Interesting. I wonder why they had to add a subtitle to the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's called Disney Tomorrowland. Weird.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know why I did that.
It's kind of like when whatever. They did, like when they had to call Avengers Assemble. Because of that.
What?
Yeah, in the UK they had to call it Avengers Assemble because there was a pre-existing movie called The Avengers with Uma Thurman, I think, in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting, okay. I think there's like a, I think it's a TV series that was called The Avengers.
Yeah, they had the series and there's like a movie, I think, based off of the,
Oh, okay, gotcha. I never watched any of that stuff, so who cares? Yeah. So about the Tomorrowland, Tim McGraw was in there.
Yeah!
As the father.
Yeah.
I was like...
I didn't know who it was, and then I saw when I was looking up the cast.
Yeah, I saw like the credits, and I was like, oh! I was like, who was that guy? Oh!
He wasn't, really? He wasn't bad or anything. So,
I know, he's great. Yeah, he's... I was like, I felt like he was like a good father, and I was like, this is excellent.
I guess I have the luck of not really knowing what Tim McGraw looks like, so I had no idea it was him. So like it, so it's not like one of those things where like, oh, insert celebrity here who's not an actor, is in this movie, like oh, and then everyone lets out an aggravated sigh.
This thing had a very interesting cast right here, like just like people I never thought being in the same movie together, which is you know.
But it turned out great.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So,
because clearly Brad Bird knows how to direct people. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, you know, because Jamie loves readings.
Oh God. Still doing this.
This joke is still happening. What would you say?
Is it a joke and nobody actually listens to us talking? I don't understand what you're saying, talking about. Most people don't even know who Jamie is.
Well, Chris.
Anyways.
What would you give it this out of 10?
Out of 10, I would give this a... it's 11 out of 10. You know? No, I'd give it probably like about 9.8 out of 10. Yeah, it loses that point tier right there just because of the one, that little brief thing I had that with the problem, like the little brief things I had the issues. That's all. Right. That's all it was.
I'm stuck between like an 8.5 and a 9. I think I'm just gonna give it a 9 though. So I guess we could, since we're done talking about the movie, pretty much, we can make a quick side note here. Uh-huh. We have become very busy with a project we're working on. So we're putting this podcast on a temporary hiatus, among other reasons.
Because nobody listens to our podcast. Yeah. That's going to start out there.
Yeah, that's what, also one of them. It's pretty easy to get burnt out on this.
Well, also it's like we're also having issues where it's like I'll go see like some movies where he'll see some movies and then we can't talk about it.
Right. Right.
Or like. Oh, I can talk about this. Can't talk about this. Wait to the podcast. Why?
Because the podcast is boring if we're, you know, faking our reactions. But at the same time, yeah. You know, if we're waiting too long, then it's taxing on us. Like, because we aren't able just to talk about, you know, movies we've seen.
Yeah, because I remember I had that issue with the Coen Brothers podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We waited so long. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, some of them done. Just take too long to finally happen. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's okay.
We'll come back to this eventually. We're going to get everything figured out. We're going to try to figure out a different way of doing some things. And, yeah. All right, guys. We'll see all zero of you next time when we
my mom listens to this. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Chris's mom. You're not my mom. You're Chris's mom.
As far as you're aware.
What did you think of Tomorrowland, Chris's mom?
Yeah, Mom, I need you to leave a comment in the section below saying what you give this as a rating. I mean, the movie, not the podcast.
Do it for Jamie.
Do it for Jamie, yeah.
All right.
Hashtag, by the way, is Stop Toddler, Calm Down Chris, and Do It For Jamie. Those are three hashtags.
All right. Good night, everyone.
All right. See you, bye, guys. And girls.
For listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. Be sure to leave your correspondence and subscribe for more. For updates on this show and our other projects, check out illuminationcinema.com.
I was in the village digging a pit, and a big fucking monkey walk out. He challenged me. I beat him on head with stick. His brain come out. Monkey never come back to village.
So anyway, Tomorrowland is a really great movie.